And again, Big Show and Ray gonna try it.
If at first you don't succeed.
Wow! Hook of the leg.
Check. One.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of Big Splash WrestleCast. I'm Steve Fontana.
And I'm Mike Capizzo.
And we have so much to talk about this week.
Will we get this all done in 1 hour?
If we go over an hour, I'm sure people won't complain.
I hope so.
I hope people that will not complain.
Yes.
That's what we're saying here. Okay. Right. We're going to start off today. With news, as always.
Okay.
We're going to talk about SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to talk about Raw.
Yes.
And we'll talk about SmackDown that led into SummerSlam a little bit. We'll touch on that before we really talk about SummerSlam.
Okay.
But let's get to the news right away. Let's get to some news. Okay. Tyler Rex had some stuff to say on Twitter.
Okay.
He was asked a question about his if he was upset about his television time as of late, and he replied, frustrated, yes, but even more determined to seize my opportunity when it comes. It drives me to work hard in practice. He's yet to be on Raw since he's drafted.
He was backstage when the Rey Mysterio won the title. I think he sprayed Rey Mysterio with the champagne.
Yeah, yes. So apparently he's a face.
Yes, exactly.
He was a heel up until drafted to Raw, which really doesn't make sense. But I'm actually a fan of Tyler Rex. I think he's got a great look. I think he's obviously a little green in the ring.
Well,
but
from what I've seen of Tyler Rex, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not really that big of a fan. The only reason why is that I just think he's too generic. He didn't really like, let's say, you know, make me jump for joy or like go, ooh, I really like this guy. I personally, first off, maybe because of his theme music, reminded me a little bit of Darren Young's, has a little bit of a comparison between the two. But not only that, maybe I'm thinking of like the WWE. I don't see anything in Tyler Rex right now.
I'm the opposite. I think that there's room for a guy like him. I think he could fit in really well with a program with a guy like Sheamus or Mark Henry. I think they could definitely book him as a psychopathic monster. They're not going to. They have too many guys that do that role. Even Randy Orton does it. You know, even Drew McIntyre did it for a while, just like these monsters.
And where's Drew McIntyre now? He's
dropping on Superstars.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll talk about that when we come to Raw. Yahoo.com has listed the top five WWE divas of all time.
Okay.
The rank is as follows here. Number one, we'll go from five to one.
Okay.
Number five is Sable. Number four is Chyna.
Okay.
Number three is Sunny. Number two is Lita. Number one is Trish Stratus. I disagree with number five. I would take Sable out. I would move Chyna down to five, and I would move Sunny down to four. And in number three, I would put the Fabulous Moolah.
Okay.
Let
me think about this for 1 second. I agree with number one with Trish Stratus. I absolutely agree with that. I agree with two with Lita.
Yep.
Actually, I would put Chyna three. The reason being is that during the Attitude Era, she had a great impact with the women's division, and I think she put the women's division on the map with setting it up with how it should be performed. Four, I would actually put Fabulous Moolah. And five, I can't round out with Sable.
I don't think Sable belongs on the list because I don't think she made it. I mean, she made the whole Divas thing. I guess she, like, started that whole turn with the thing. But, like, she was a valet, and then she started wrestling. But she was never really a wrestler. Like, she was never really that. If you had, you know, female managers, maybe she could be on the list. But even that's a hard one to get on.
I mean, I don't even know why. Sunny's even in the top five.
Sunny was on everybody's wall. You know, she was... Yeah, she didn't wrestle either, but I feel like Sunny had more of a crossover.
Okay. I mean, if anything, who I would put my number five, I mean, if I'm thinking right now, I don't know why I put her even five, but I would have to put Mickie James.
Okay.
I would have to put Mickie James.
They would never put her, Yahoo might, but WWE would never put her on a list because she's gone. So.
Yeah, well, true.
The Young Bucks, known in TNA as Generation Me, they received a tryout. Yesterday before Raw.
Listen, I'm getting very excited right now. I think WWE is going in the right direction. They are now going to be focusing on the tag teams once again.
Thank God.
Which is awesome.
That's what I want. You know, because then not only does it strengthen the titles, make the titles mean something, but it also stops them from having meaningless tag matches mm-hmm. with main event talent and mid-card talent. Just have tag teams for tag team matches. Let tag teams fight.
Yeah.
There were several other talents that got tryouts as well, including Scorpio Sky.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with him. I'm not really an indies guy, but there's that.
Big thing with the tag team they're bringing up is that they're also contemplating the WWE for they're thinking about trying to get beer money when their contract expires with TNA. Now, I don't know if they will because they've been in TNA for so long, but
if they throw enough money in their direction, they'll take it.
It'll be interesting to see because, you know, beer money has been, what, they've been there 8 years now with TNA? They've started in like 03, 04, you know, they've been there a while, and it'll be something different to see for the tag team division.
Okay, the WWE announced Monday that referee Mike Chioda has been suspended for 30 days. He violated the wellness policy here.
This is shocking.
They didn't suspend him right away because they wanted him to ref at SummerSlam. He's obviously one of their senior, if not their senior referee. Which is, it's interesting because on Monday I actually tweeted, I think it was the main event. I did not know who the referee was that was reffing the main event on Raw.
Mm.
And I said, who is this guy? Why isn't Mike Chioda out there?
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's why. Wellness policy. They have apparently their other referees are sweating.
Okay.
I'm guessing. I mean, it's obviously not steroids, but I'm thinking it's either weed,
okay,
or it's like an Abuterol or not Abuterol, Adderall is what I'm looking for. Something, you know, like methamphetamine or something like that to keep them up because they're on the road all the time, and I can imagine those guys get tired just like the wrestlers. So
you know, I'm interested, you know, in this story just because of the fact that, you know, you would never expect a referee to get caught, you know, in such a way.
Hey, they're testing everybody, which now, kudos to the WWE for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, but I listen. If this is going to be a way for the referees to realize, okay, we have to, you know, start thinking of other ways to take care of ourselves and not stay
like
up.
Sleep.
Yeah, sleep.
You know, sleep will help. Some coffee.
It'll be
a Red Bull. God forbid they have a 5-hour energy shot. Anything. I'm sure if they start, you know, Mike Chioda comes back and maybe he does a little spot backstage where he says, you know what, I'm done with the methamphetamines. I'm going with the 5-hour energy shot. Boom, $1 million for WWE. Yeah.
Well,
boom.
Well, they've been trying to do that for TNA for so long with 5-hour energy.
Vince McMahon is all about turning a negative into a positive, and I'm sure it could work. Speaking of negatives into a positive, let's talk about SummerSlam.
Okay.
I don't know why that was a terrible transition, but that's how we roll.
Well, it depends on how you felt at the end of SummerSlam,
right,
if it was a positive or
is
a negative.
The end of SummerSlam. Okay. Let's start with the beginning of SummerSlam, shall we? We didn't get our surprise match that we thought we might get with an IC title.
No, we
didn't. There was no IC title to be found.
No.
Which, you know, whatever. That's fine with me. I mean, did you mind?
I didn't. I was okay with it. I expected The Miz to somehow be at SummerSlam, especially when they show you after the clip that the awesome symbol is already on the stage.
Yeah, I was like, why is that? Oh, man.
Yeah, so we're automatically going to get into it. So as soon as I saw the awesome thing, I had a slight idea that there may have been some kind of, you know, something going on with a tag team match. And that's what we got. We got a standard old...
It was a crowd pleaser. It was just to get the crowd hot, and the crowd was hot.
Yeah, like, the crowd was
interested. Listening to them, and they were popping for everything and anything. It wasn't that terrible of a match. I mean, you got
the Rey Mysterio finish. You know,
Matt Fowler of IGN said that it was a white, black, and Hispanic versus a white, black, and Hispanic.
Oh, it ended up.
And that's what it was. It was The Miz, R-Truth, Alberto Del Rio versus John Morrison, Kofi Kingston, Rey Mysterio.
It worked.
It pleased everybody. A little bit of everybody. Plus, they had to have Del Rio and Rey Mysterio on the card in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, it's
just
a big Latino market.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, that makes sense. But it was good. It was a nice match to start it off. It really made my taste buds tingle.
Tingle? I think specifically the match just made my taste buds just disappear because, in my opinion, it might have been a great start to, you know, anything, but it didn't catch my attention. It didn't make me... It's just a regular tag team match. I haven't seen a good tag team match in so long.
Okay.
So that's
I think it was a little weird decision. You know, we're 2 months away from Survivor Series, right? 2 months?
Yeah.
No, it's November.
No, it's
I don't
November.
Know how long. However long ago it is.
Yeah.
They got to start straying away from the big man tag team matches. Speaking of big men, Sheamus versus Mark Henry. I'm going to take 50%. I scored a half a point.
Yes, you did.
On my predictions.
You did say it.
I knew that not one of these guys was going to get a clean victory over the other because they want to build them both.
Yep.
So Mark Henry instead just threw Sheamus through a barricade.
Can I just tell you? Have you seen the clip of Sheamus being put through, and you see the guy who he was in the
barely
crowd.
Makes it out of the way?
No, he barely makes it out of the way, that guy. But the other guy, he's got this look of shock on his face. I don't know if he was, like, bought by the WWE to just act that one part out, but it was absolutely hysterical. You have to, like, look
one of
the
guy. I think the guy that just barely made it out of the way was clearly a plant, because he was, like, he knew his cue. Like, his cue was, oh, crap, I gotta go.
But it wasn't even that. Like, it seemed like the chair actually, like, pushed him.
Right.
Like carried him out of the way also. So it was very good, very planned. It was a good way to show that Sheamus can put up a fight against Mark Henry. Mark Henry is vulnerable, but Mark Henry is still
The only thing that'll keep Sheamus down is if he's thrown through a barricade.
Exactly.
You know, after being ran into the ring post. So yeah. I mean it makes sense. Then God help us, CeeLo.
Oh, performed.
Performed.
Oh, did you know that when that came on, I took a bathroom break. That was my bathroom break.
Unfortunately, unless you had to take a massive deuce,
This
bathroom break could not be sustained. Because not only did we get CeeLo, immediately following that, we had the Divas match.
Yeah.
So I was torn because I knew I didn't know that the Divas match was next. I didn't know that. I don't believe they said, oh, we're coming up next, you know, but first, CeeLo. So I saw CeeLo and I stared emptily.
That would be a word for today.
That emptily.
That's the word of the day.
At the screen and just was like, I mean, he's a good singer, but, I mean, that was just boring as all hell.
It was very boring.
So, Divas Championship match.
Divas Championship. I was very upset.
It surprised me.
It surprised you because of the outcome?
No, their work was very good. They did a very good job in the ring.
Listen, they could do whatever they want, whatever they plan. I'm sorry, but this is supposed to be a women's title and someone who will represent it well.
By the way, you get a point because you did say Kelly Kelly will win with a roll-up.
I did.
And she won with a roll-up.
With the roll-up.
So the score is 1-1/2.
Yeah, see? Now listen, I am getting a little bit tired of the... Kelly Kelly does not represent that title well. I'll even go to say...
She represents the Divas title well, but not the Women's Champion. There is no Women's Championship, so it is what it is.
I don't know. I want Beth Phoenix to hold the title just because of the fact that, you know, she may not be a diva, but she's a wrestler. And she stands out more in my eyes that way with the women's division.
She did what she needed to do. She carried Kelly Kelly through the match, and Kelly Kelly wound up getting the surprise victory, which actually strengthens Kelly Kelly and makes her more of a credible champion. So it did what it needed to do. It's not something that needed to happen at SummerSlam, but whatever. It happened, and they actually had – it was a little sloppy in the beginning. Like you could see that they were trying too fast, and you saw Beth just take control of the match. She just, you know – I forgot. I think she got her in the corner or something like that, or whatever it was, and they just calmed it down slowly. And the rest of the match, the last maybe 3 minutes, was actually really entertaining. They did a good job. Daniel Bryan versus Wade Barrett.
Now,
I don't remember who did you. I predicted Daniel Bryan was going to win because I could not see them shitting on him. Ooh, I cursed.
It's okay.
I could not see them crapping on him.
No, I also so soon, pulled for Daniel Bryan just because of the fact that they need some prevalence for him to hold the Money in the Bank briefcase. But Wade Barrett won, and he didn't just win, he won clean. Like, there was no, like, cheating, nothing whatsoever. He actually looked great. And yeah. I'm very happy by that because of the fact that, you know, maybe this makes Barrett into something, you know, something greater. Maybe we will, maybe this money idea that he has, this persona that he's gaining back, is getting recognition now.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're always, and WWE is always about, you know, you're only going to be as famous as you want to be. Like, you need to push yourself. Daniel Bryan is going to get over on most of the crowd just because he's our, you know, workhorse and all that stuff. So I think I was surprised with the outcome. I didn't think he was going to get it clean, but he did, and it was a good match. I would say, you know, like, if we were going to rate it out of a, you know, a 10, a 1 to 10 scale, I'd give it about an 8. It was solid.
I would give it an 8 also. Like, it had, everything was going well with that match. So
I would give the tag team opening match, it wasn't bad.
4.
You're giving it 4. I would say about a 5. I would give it a, you know, 50-50, right in the middle. Sheamus and Mark Henry, I would give a 7.
5, 6, like that.
Divas Championship.
Oh, God. Nothing. I don't even want to grade it. I'm sorry.
I would give it about a 6, and then we got our Wade Barrett, Daniel Bryan. I give it an 8. Okay, moving on from there, we had our No Holds Barred match, which arguably was
match of the night. Match of the night. All right. Before we even get to the main event, it was the match of the night. They did everything great. People were actually getting injured. You know, like, you saw, you know,
there was blood coming from a thumb. There was blood coming from an elbow.
Yeah, I mean,
there was,
listen.
This is the funny thing. Christian went through 3 tables.
Yes.
He went through 2, but one, he was slammed on 1.
Yeah.
3 tables, the steps, he got hit with, I think, a chair at some point.
Yep.
He got put through Kendo the announcer
stick.
Table.
He got DDT through on the trash can.
Right. All of that did not bleed. Randy Orton took no big bumps and was bleeding from 3 places.
Yes, exactly.
Listen,
let me point this out.
Wrestling is a dangerous thing, ladies and gentlemen.
You
do not try it at home.
You were a trooper during that match.
Christian basically said, hey, Randy, we're doing a no-holds-barred match, right? Beat the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. I'm game. Just take care of me.
Yeah.
And apparently, Randy Orton was like, all right, let's do it.
Let me point this out to you. When I was watching that pay-per-view, you know it was the best moment? When Randy Orton gave an RKO to Christian, finally through the announce table.
Right, and you could see that these two guys, I think the reason why this feud is working, and it has worked up to this point, and, you know, they needed the big blow off, is because these two guys are having so much fun working together.
Yeah.
They are, as much as they're not the hottest, you know, thing as far as their promos, like the reason why they're feuding, mm-hmm. but Christian as a heel is having a blast.
Yeah.
Edge coming out and giving him the old right to his face. Uh-huh. Calling him a bitch and all that stuff was just like, Christian is having a blast playing a heel.
He is.
And Orton is having a blast being Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He's having a really fun time doing it.
He is. And you know what? And at the same time, I don't want to reveal anything to you, Steven, but, you know, don't want to burst your bubble, but they kept saying during the SummerSlam that this is their last encounter.
I know it is their last encounter, which is okay. Move on, but Christian's gonna stay the way he is, hopefully, right. and Orton will, you know, move on to bigger and better things. So these two guys left it all out in that ring.
Yeah. So now you have to top it. In my eyes,
what'd you think of the Orton came out on top with Christian was going for his patented vintage second or middle rope crossbody.
I called it.
And, you know, he went up and Orton gave him the RKO right on the steps, which, you know, it's cool. You know, I think they Orton tried to do that spot with somebody else on the steps or was it The Miz maybe? Mm. I forgot. He had one match where it was like a hardcore style match and they were doing that. And I think, it was Cena.
Okay.
I think it was Cena and he wound up giving an attitude adjustment to somebody on the steps or something like that.
Yeah.
I forget what it was. But the steps thing, I mean, that's like, we're back in 1992 where if the steps got involved, they tried to make the steps be like, these are like 6,000-pound steel steps and they're gonna crush each other. So I mean, they're if he went through so many tables, he got the absolute hell beat out of him. But
and he got beat on the steps.
He got beat on the steps with the RKO. Yes. It wasn't as crazy as, you know, an Evan Bourne doing, you know, the what do you call it, the flippity floopity thing that he does in the air, the shooting star press into an RKO. But it was cool. Yeah. It was fast. It did its thing.
Yeah.
Then to follow that, those guys basically came into the back curtain and then looked Punk and Cena in the eyes and said, "Your turn.
Yeah.
Go get him."
Yeah.
The crowd, I feel, was exhausted after that.
Yes, I felt that they were very tired. They just experienced quite possibly like the match of the year of the or the match of the night, maybe even the match of the year nominee, and then you get to see CM Punk, John Cena once again. And let me start it off. Okay, I'll start it off with this.
Start it off. Get it.
In my opinion, this was not better than Money in the Bank. Because Money in the Bank was, I think it was special just because of the fact it was the crowd. Crowd
was
really
hot. Crowd was hot in Money in the Bank. Now, I didn't see the Money in the Bank. I saw a video of Punk's entrance. I heard how loud the crowd was.
Yeah.
And I obviously saw the end where when he won and everybody went ape.
Now,
crap,
the crowd was still hot for this. They were really pulling for CM Punk in this. Crowds are bowling the daylights out of John Cena. They're getting sick of him now. So, you know, they have the match and everything's going well.
To be fair, in Chicago, they're not going to choose Cena over Punk.
Yeah.
Usually Cena is a 50-50, except in places like Philly, New York, L.A., you know, maybe Miami. The big cities are more of a they're more anti-Cena, it seems like. They're just smarter cities. They're, you know, as far as, you know, guy, you know, they're internet people, whatever. So I don't know if that was, you know, Cena's fault or if it's a signs that Cena's losing the fans. He still sells the most merch. He still has a lot of supporters.
He does. Now, okay, so we get to both guys kick out of a finisher. They're the each other's finisher, which was actually a debate from one of my friends. She had stated, had stated that a finisher is supposed to be a move that ends a match. So why would you continue a match if it's not really a finisher? But we could get to that debate on another day from a TNA standpoint.
Well, we could. I mean, it's false finishers are supposed to be for the big moments.
Yes.
You don't see it happen on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's supposed to say that these guys want to win so bad that they dig in for that extra millisecond to get their shoulders up. I want to recall WrestleMania. Was it 6 was Warrior and Hogan? Was WrestleMania 6?
I think so.
Where Warrior hit his finisher on Hogan,
mm-hmm.
and he got the 1-2-3, and at 3, Hogan kicks out.
Mm.
He lost, but it just shows that a match could end in a millisecond.
Mm-hmm.
That 1/10 of a second, if Hogan was just wanted it just a little bit more, this match, you know, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It would make it that much bigger. That's why there's false finishes, because they can't, you have to add drama to a match. And once you reach that 25-minute mark, it could get boring.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like Iron Man matches, because you didn't see, I mean, you saw Sean in him and Brett's match, you know, he was in the sharpshooter and he lasted. So that's not necessarily a false finish. He just held on that much longer. But then you see something like Cena and Orton. Was it Cena and Orton? Where they pinned each other or whatever like 7 times,
mm-hmm.
you know, or tapped out, or, you know, immediately, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's a psychology. It's all about having the crowd in the palm of your hand. A smart wrestling fan will be like, or you know, your friend may be looking at it more these are the rules of wrestling.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you start looking at it as rules of wrestling, you stop thinking of it in terms of entertainment, and you're thinking of it as a sport. And as somebody that has been in matches, I've done 5 or 6 matches before. I'm not a pro by any means, but like that's the one thing they teach you is it's about creating drama, and they don't want you to they don't want crazy false finishes in an 8-minute match.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're approaching a half an hour, You need that. It's a story arc. Each match is a story. And when you hit that peak, you hit the rising action is leading up to those false finishers, and then there's boom, there's the false finishers is your climax. Mm-hmm. And then everything kind of resolves from there, and then everything comes down. The crowd, you need the crowd wrapped around your finger.
All right.
And I think for that it adds something to it. But back to the match that, you know, at hand, CM Punk, John Cena, we had those guys leave it out all out in the ring. Of course, Punk won.
Well,
and
it was
shady business. Uh-huh. CM Punk pinned Cena after a go to sleep. Which, Cena, for the love of God, take it on the chin. It's SummerSlam. There's no reason why the go to sleep has to hit him, graze him on his chest. Get your face, put it on his knee. Keep your eyes open and hit. He's not going to hurt you. He's got a knee pad. Sure, yeah. It might ding you a little bit. Yeah. Take it on the chin. After what those guys went through the match before you, take it on the chin.
Well, he did take it twice from, you know, the running knee in the corner or on the ropes.
But it's not the finish of the night.
All right.
It's not the finish.
I also felt that in this match, I don't know why, but I felt that they rushed the finish too early. And I think the reason being was because it looked like CM Punk hurt his leg during the match. He was limping around. So I felt that they rushed the finish just a little bit.
I didn't catch that. I don't know. I mean, you could be right, but yeah. I didn't catch that.
They haven't really brought up anything about that, but that's what it looked like to me.
Okay.
So, you know, CM Punk, it's the GTS.
GDS, go to sleep, Cena.
He covers him. Cena clearly has his leg on the rope, but Triple H isn't looking at it, and he's counting the 1, 2, 3. And
now,
here's
the interesting thing. Here's the interesting thing about that. Triple H did a great job at adding an element to it without being overtly adding an element.
Okay.
The one time when Cena had an issue with Triple H's count, Triple H was matter of fact. He said, "I'm looking at the shoulders. If his shoulders come up, that's it." CM Punk had an issue with Triple H. A slight thing. You know, what's going on with the count? He's like, "I'm looking at the shoulders." He said it twice to each guy. It will not come across to a live audience, but from somebody watching on television, when he made the count with Cena's foot on the rope, he was looking at the shoulders, telling them exactly what he was doing. It just adds to the fact that a referee has more responsibility to a fan. You know, referees have to be responsible for everything. Yeah. So Triple H was focused on the shoulders because the guys kept complaining about the kicking out of the shoulders. "Are you sure? Are you sure?" So he overcompensated by staying on that side of Cena. So it made sense if you were paying attention to that, you know, and really listening to what Cena was telling Triple H and what they're, you know, because they had the mics on. You can hear what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they purposely had both Cena and Punk talk to Triple H about the counting. So when it happened at the end, I knew that they were setting something up. So when it happened at the end with Cena's foot on the rope, I understood, okay, he's so concentrating on the shoulders because of what happened the previous two times. That's why he did that. Now, he apologizes to Cena. He can't reverse the decision because as COO he can, but because he's the ref, and this is like an actual technical rule.
Yeah.
It's in the rules. Anytime that a decision is overturned is when COO or president or somebody like back in the day, Jack Tunney,
yeah,
or Gorilla Monsoon, or, you know, whoever, would have to come out and tell the ref to reverse the decision.
Uh-huh.
Because that is who Triple H is, the referee's decision is final.
Uh-huh.
It's always the referee's decision is final in wrestling. That's just like an unwritten rule. It makes things make sense because in any match, a referee could come out and say, "Hey, all the heels are disqualified in every match ever because they always cheat."
Yeah.
So that's an unspoken rule. Triple H cannot reverse that decision before we get people complaining, you know, that he should have reversed the decision.
So Punk wins.
Punk wins, celebrating. I'm happy.
We're all
and
happy.
I see, out of the corner of my eye.
Did you see it?
I see this giant lumbering man.
I think his name is Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash, Diesel, Vinny Vegas. I see him, and I'm like, "Oh, crap." That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Yep.
Was, "Oh, man." And I wasn't sure if he was supposed to. Like, I was honestly, because the cameras, when he came into view in the corner of the screen,
they instantly
cut away.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, man, he's not supposed to be doing this."
Yeah.
For a second. But then, of course, he came out. He clotheslined the all holy hell out of Punk, picked him up, gave him a beautiful jackknife, which I didn't actually get to see because I was tweeting, holy crap, it's Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
Gets him, and then the shocker of the night. My name is Alberto Del Rio!
I hate him.
Comes out, cashes in the money in the bank.
I hate him.
Gets the cheap victory, I do have an issue with that because in order for the match to start, both competitors have to be on their feet, and they weren't. Punk was still down, but that's another discussion.
Uh-huh.
Cashes in the Money in the Bank, gets the victory over CM Punk, and is our new WWE, undisputed WWE champion.
Steven.
Yes.
Steven.
Yes, Mike.
I'm going to be – I've been holding this in for the past few podcasts.
Okay, you've been holding it in.
And I got to be completely honest
with you. Let it out.
Really? Okay, let's point this out to you people with this guy, okay? First off, he won Royal Rumble, okay?
Uh-huh.
He won Royal Rumble and lost. So let's point that out. Not many
okay.
people can win the Royal Rumble and lose.
Okay.
Then what do? They make him win Money in the Bank.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, you know, WWE. You're really trying to push this guy.
He's a main event guy,
okay?
Believe it or not.
And then finally... he wins the title, and let me point this out to you, okay? I don't know what it is, but I don't see this guy as a main eventer. I don't see this guy as someone that can pull in the ratings. Personally, in my opinion, what this guy reminds me of right now is an old JBL that should just go away.
Okay, to touch on some of your points, when a heel is champion... he is not drawing in the money. What draws the money, what people pay to see, is the good guy beat the heel. So the heel is only going to draw the money that the face, you know, will give him.
Yeah.
So now that they, after Raw, instantly fed or hand-feeding him John Cena, that's what's going to draw the money. Not Alberto Del Rio. It's going to be John Cena chasing Alberto Del Rio. That's the way it works. If it's a face... that draws the money. If the face is the champion, they come to see the champion fight anybody and beat him. When they go to see a heel champion, they want to see him get beat. So it's a little bit of a different psychology. No, he's not going to, you know, his name in lights isn't going to be like, oh, Del Rio's fight? Oh, I should buy a ticket. It's going to be like, it's going to be who's going to try and take down the champion? Oh, it's Rey Mysterio? Oh, I like Rey Mysterio. Let me buy this ticket. Or who's going to try and take down the champion? Oh, it's John Cena. Okay, I'll go see John Cena try and win the title. So, I mean, that's that psychology. Now, on Raw, well, we should do a little transition to Raw.
Yeah.
Nash, who's being called Kevin Nash, not Diesel, so that's a completely different mindset that WWE is going with. I'm glad to see Nash on television. I was a huge Nash fan in WCW. I wasn't like huge, like I had his t-shirts and everything, but I was huge, like I appreciated his work. Hated him in TNA. I thought he was just pushed to all hell for no reason.
Let me point this out with Kevin Nash. Just to you know, because he came out. I love the unscripted mic work between Kevin Nash and CM Punk. I did like it. Kevin Nash is a little rusty, to say the least.
Okay.
I could point that out. But I don't think Kevin Nash has it in him anymore. And right now he's under a Legends contract. He is not under any sort of fighting contract. So I don't know if
I got to ask a stupid question.
Yes.
That how do you know he's not on a competing contract?
Well, because they've posted what kind of contract it is. It's called Legends. And literally what Legends is you make appearances and, you know, you do pretty much like you're in the video game for WWE 12. And
which,
you know,
looks awesome, by the way.
You're going to get your own action figure, you know.
Okay.
It's no reference of you
so
fighting.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Does Ricky the Dragon Steamboat have a Legends contract?
Yes.
Okay. Does I'm trying to think of somebody else. But okay, let's just go with that example.
Okay.
Did he or did he not fight Chris Jericho?
Okay, he did.
Okay. That Legends contracts, they're going to be in the ring.
All right.
They're going to wrestle. It's how WWE works. They don't want you to it's basically a way so that they don't have to commit to a demanding in-ring schedule.
All right.
But The Rock probably has a Legends contract.
Yeah, well,
but he signed on the dotted line for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The reason why he did it a year in advance is because he has booking issues. Mm-hmm. If he signs on to do 3 movies next year, he needs to be able to tell them, no, I need this date off. I can't work this date. You know, 3 weeks. I need, you know, whatever. And I guarantee you Nash signed a very similar deal where he's going to compete probably at WrestleMania. They'll probably push it at least that far. Or at the most that far. He might compete before that, but whatever. So Nash and Punk have a quasi-shoot promo.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought Nash did a pretty good job. He wasn't as clever as Punk. He wasn't as hit below the belt as Punk. He didn't personally attack Punk per se.
Okay.
He called him a cheap line cook at a Waffle House. Mm. I think that was just a line he probably wrote 3 weeks ago, and he was like, "Oh, I have to use that because it's awesome and whatever."
Yeah.
But what he did do that was great was when he pounded his chest and said, "I changed this business. The reason why you are making any money is because of guys like me and Scott Hall." And it was true. I was like, wow, you know what? He actually has a point. He literally changed wrestling. He literally changed the way the business works.
Okay, true. Yes, he did literally change wrestling. But as CM Punk said, he's not changing wrestling now. The only thing he's doing is complicating things by being put here. And we still don't know. We have, again, the end of Raw, we had more questions than answers.
Which is fine. You're not supposed to get answers right away.
Yeah,
so.
I know that. Okay. An interesting thing going on right now is John Laurinaitis. He's, I guess, now becoming a heel. I guess he may be a heel leader now.
Because we needed one.
Yes, exactly. And Stephanie is on TV.
Stephanie's vagina has shrunk enough after her 3 births where she could be on television again, which is great.
Yes.
So Punk and Nash had that little thing, but we also had a final blow off. Thank God, R-Truth and John Morrison finally, they may have ended this thing once and for all.
Well,
Morrison finally got a win.
It's probably
it was
over.
Creative.
Yeah, well,
it was a really cool match. Mm-hmm. I was very pleased.
Yep.
I'd give it, you know, an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I give it 7.
It wasn't a, you know, wow, great thing. You know, mm-hmm. The commercial breaks killed it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
It was about an 8-minute match.
Mm-hmm.
So with commercials, that it was like a 5-minute match.
Yeah.
But it was a creative ending. It was a lot of fun. We had a Divas scuttlebutt.
Yep, with didn't find that interesting. Supposedly that there's a new tag team on the horizon. Their names are Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne. Tell me how those two fit. I don't know.
Because you have Evan Bourne's high energy, high octane offense, and Kofi Kingston's controlled frenzy, which I tweeted.
Controlled frenzy.
That's what Michael Cole always calls it. It's controlled frenzy whenever he's going crazy. Controlled is in air quotes here, because when that guy is doing all of his high spots, he's a danger. He is a mess.
Oh,
yeah. He did a drop kick to, I think it was, I don't even know who the hell it was, but he did a drop kick where it looked like he almost killed the guy. I think, all right, great, they're making tag teams, but I'm tired. I want gimmick tag teams. I don't want.
Yeah.
2 random guys put together. It's
annoying.
Now
they're
going to
be going for the tag team titles. You know, it's just interesting.
Of course they are.
And now, not only that, but we're just getting highlights throughout the night of Rey Mysterio's championship wins.
Right. Every time it's David and Goliath, his dream has come true.
Yeah,
he's finally done it. You know, whatever. I don't care.
Did you notice throughout that entire match that you could just tell with Del Rio and Mysterio? That you could just tell that Mysterio was just hurting. Did you see? Because of his knee problems? Like, there were points in that match.
I don't feel like he was holding back.
No, I don't feel like he was holding back, but you could definitely see that leg was bothering him. There were points where he was running, and it looked like he was just hobbling. I'm going to admit this. I think by the end of next week, you may find out that Rey Mysterio has to have surgery. I don't know why.
I don't think he could survive. His career could survive another surgery.
I mean,
Alex Riley got some airtime.
Oh, Oh, wait.
Alex Riley.
Wait. Alex Riley had airtime with a guy named Jack Swagger.
Jack Swagger, right.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Dolph Ziggler and Vicky Guerrero were on commentary, bickering at each other the whole time.
Wait. Can I just talk to you? Swagger has a nickname in my eyes.
He does.
He has two nicknames, actually. They both begin with S.
Is one of them the All-American American? Okay, no, it doesn't. Okay.
The first one is Sloppy.
Okay.
Sloppy Swagger.
Sloppy
Swagger. And the other one is Sleepy Swagger.
Sleepy Swagger.
Because every time I watch one of his matches, he puts me to sleep.
Okay.
And Sloppy Swagger is because of the ending of the Alex Riley match.
Oh, God. Okay. So the whole story of this match wasn't even Alex Riley and Jack Swagger. The whole story of the match was Dolph Ziggler and Vicky Guerrero on commentary bickering at each other, basically hinting at a split.
Yep.
Vicky then goes in the ring, helps Jack Swagger get a victory. Swagger goes for a gut wrench, his finishing gut wrench powerbomb.
Whose fault?
It was a timing issue. I think
I think the first time it was Alex Riley's fault because he didn't know how to jump. The second time it's Swagger flipping.
It's not about this is what happened. I've been in the ring. I know what it's like. It was basically, I feel like the ending had to be fast. So Swagger went to give him the gut wrench immediately. There was no stop go. It was you make it fluid. Riley was doing stop go. So when Swagger went to do it, Riley sandbagged. So after that, Swagger was still trying to make it fluid. So he put him down and picked him right back up. Okay? Riley was again, it's not working, friend. Then Swagger actually dropped him. Like, he couldn't hold him. The third time they finally got on the same page, Swagger waited. It was like, go. Like, down, up. And then he finally got him over and got the win. It was horrid.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a horrid display of professional wrestling.
You know what made the moment even funnier? When Michael Cole said, "What strength by Jack Swagger."
What strength?
I'm like, what skill he has for being able to
JR, who is the master at fixing problems like this.
Fixing them?
JR can fix, if somebody's teeth fall out, if their eyeballs fall out, he'll find out a way to make it seem like it's supposed to happen. He couldn't save this.
No.
He stayed zipped up, didn't say a word. No. Michael Cole was like, "What strength?" They could have said, Riley trying to fight out of it, couldn't fight out of it. Swagger exhausted. Riley put him to his brink. He couldn't get him up. Finally got nothing.
No. Didn't save it.
Then we had the tag match we were alluding to. Mm. It was a decent match, you know, whatever. I'm giving Swagger and what's his name like a two. A two.
It
would have gotten a three, but the ending ruined it.
Yeah.
The tag match, I give, you know, a four, five. It wasn't that good. But they kept saying that Otunga and McGillicuddy need proper competition. They need real competition, which is alluding to the tryouts that WWE was having. They might be trying to build that tag division, which is exciting. Then we had our undisputed WWE. I hate that they're calling it the undisputed title, but whatever.
It'll stick around for about a couple months, and then it'll go back to just being a WWE title.
Why does it need to still be the spinner title? Why?
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 It just looks cool.
It doesn't look cool. It looks like.
Okay. To the young fan, it looks cool.
Then sell it on Shop Zone and all that stuff, but you don't need it on television.
Unless
Cena's the champion.
Actually, technically, it's not the spinner belt anymore.
It's not. It's the spinner belt that doesn't spin. But still, it's ugly. It's ugly.
I know.
Too many jewels.
I'm waiting for something new.
It sucks.
Well, listen. Okay, let me ask you this. The World Heavyweight Championship has been out, 14 years? Why don't you have a problem with that?
Because it's a beautiful belt. It looks prestigious. It looks like it's a trophy. It doesn't look like it's a garment.
Okay. All right.
It doesn't look like it's supposed to be an accessory. It looks like it's a championship belt. Isn't that the one WCW used?
Yes. Exact same
It one. Has history.
Okay.
The current WWE title's only history is that John Cena wiggled out the belt.
Okay.
He wanted to make it. He wanted to bedazzle it in his thuggish way. And now it's stuck like that.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous around the waist when JBL, I think, had it. Mm-hmm. It looked ridiculous around his waist. It looks ridiculous around even Cena's waist now. It looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
But because he's not so thugged out anymore, he doesn't have the chain or whatever. It looks ridiculous around a guy like
Punk. It looks ridiculous. It looks Del Rio.
The thing about Punk that I think Punk actually carried it pretty well because he carried it like it was garbage. He didn't care about it. He just cared about making hell for WWE for having it. It looks stupid in everybody's hands. It looks stupid on Sheamus. It just looks stupid. Okay. Del Rio and Mysterio had their little fight, which we've seen 1,000 times.
Yep. And it ended the exact same way that we all expected.
Right.
Del Rio won.
Yes.
Yes.
It was not a great match. I give it about a 6, whatever. It was typical stuff.
Yep.
Del Rio retains. Mm-hmm.
John Cena comes out and is angry. He's so mad at the fact that Mr. Del Rio cashed in the title. He cashed in his money in the bank at the wrong time.
You know what? It's gosh dang, yeah. Del Rio for doing the same thing that 8 other superstars have done, and yes. John Cena has had no problem with
but
that
not
in
only
the
that,
past.
But CM Punk has done it twice, and he respects what Del Rio did.
CM Punk has done it twice. Cena has, I think he's been a victim of it twice.
Yes.
Cena was so mad that he said, you know what, Del Rio? You have to defend that title and be a real champion because defending it against Rey Mysterio doesn't count.
Exactly.
What? He basically took a big steaming pile of crap right on Rey Mysterio's masked face.
Exactly. And not only
he
that.
He said, Rey Mysterio, you're not a real competitor.
Yeah.
You're not a real threat.
And I like how John Cena was like trying to like floor the line of PG-13 by saying, you know, I'm gonna whip your ass.
Oh, he opened up the A word.
He served it good. He may get a little fine for saying ass on TV.
No, they've been saying that a while. As long as there's no hole at the end or a jack in the front.
He even called him a bastard. I cannot wait to explain to my child.
Right,
bastard.
You don't have a child.
Oh, that's right.
Thankfully,
yeah.
Thankfully, we don't need another Mike Capizzo running around.
All right.
So yeah, that's how that ended off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for this week's SmackDown.
I am too.
I read, you know, spoilers. It doesn't look like there's necessarily great competition, but there's good story stuff happening. So I'm looking forward to it. We've talked about Raw, we talked about SummerSlam, you know, SmackDown.
Getting ready for this week's SmackDown.
Getting ready for this week's SmackDown. But there is another company.
Oh.
We've mentioned it 1 or 2 times, just in name, not in discussing.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna leave the discussions up to you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This is our little segment that we do every show. It's called TNA in 60 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And it's starring one of our hosts here on Big Splash WrestleCast, Mike Capizzo. Mm-hmm. Mike, this week I actually have my iPod Touch.
Okay.
And we're going to time your little ditty.
Okay.
Right. So let me know when you're ready. You ready?
Okay. So guys.
Oh wait. We need a song. We need to introduce the TNA in 60 seconds. I think it should be different every time. So let's see. Let's see. What should we do?
I got it. You're rolling on this, so.
It's TNA. It's 60 seconds. Okay.
Okay.
You ready?
I think so.
Do you have a disclaimer?
Yes, I do.
What's your disclaimer?
Okay. TNA is brought to you by Flip Flops, where you never know if the guy is going to be a good guy or a bad guy this week.
Ready and go.
Okay. So this week on Impact, we have Ken Anderson gets beat up by all of Immortal. He is no longer in Immortal. Okay. They are really ruining Ken Anderson on this show. Mickie James is the new number one contender for the women's title. Expected? Yes. Brian Kendrick beats Robbie E., who then later dumps Cookie. There goes that gimmick.
My heart's broken.
Bound for Glory series. Beer Money wins. Rude gets the 7 points. Okay, Kurt Angle is now back. He is now a bad guy. He blames Dixie Carter for not revealing that Karen was cheating on him. Okay. Now, Sting.
Time out.
Yes.
I'm stopping you here. We're at 36 seconds.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
But since when are you a bad person for being upset that your wife has cheated on you? Okay, continue.
Okay, Sting makes his way to the ring. Hogan attacks him with a chair. Oh, God. Stupid women's tag team match. Who cares? X Division will not get recognized for what it is. 225-pound limit. Austin Aries is going to be, I guess, the leader. Jeff Jarrett is the king of Mexico. Karen is the queen. Finally, Cruiser beats Immortal, and he gets attacked by Angle. What's going on? Is he the new Bill Goldberg? I have no idea.
Perfect. All right. Exactly 60 seconds. Oh, okay. That little TNA in 60 seconds was brought to you by Flip Flops, of course. Now, we're going to go to a little reader listener mail. Sorry.
Okay.
We actually had two emails, which is more than we've ever had ever. Which, by the way, you could write to us at BigSplashPodcast@gmail.com. Mm. Folks, if you want to be a part of the show, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it is.
Go on to your email services. And you throw in the little recipient there, BigSplashPodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Just like Franklin did.
Franklin. Okay.
He has a question for our TNA in 60 Seconds segment.
Okay.
Okay, so this is a little extended TNA in 60 Seconds segment, but okay. it fits.
Okay.
Do you think WWE can use AJ Styles better than TNA? I believe he is being trampled on by TNA.
Okay, here's so is he asking this to me or to you?
I would say both of us.
Okay, so here's my opinion about AJ Styles. AJ Styles has been with the TNA company for since the beginning. He's been there since the time it started, and he's revolutionized the idea of the X Division. He's a grand champion. He's won nearly every title. Personally, what I feel what's going on right now with TNA with AJ Styles is that they are using him to an extent of just getting him on TV. I think that's what's going on. And
they just kind of letting him coast?
I think they're just giving
him some time off.
Yeah,
maybe he's hurting or something?
Yeah, I think something's going on there. I saw the match at Destination X between him and Christopher Daniels, and there was something wrong with the match. It felt like both of them were a little off. I don't know if both of them were possibly injured or, you know, they were just struggling. If he was in WWE right now,
do you think WWE could do better for him?
No. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
If he was to go to WWE right now, I think he would have to do what every other superstar who has come to the WWE from wherever has to do, and he has to rebuild himself. He has to reestablish himself. He is not going to be remembered for TNA for what he did because of the fact that WWE is not going to bring up what happened in TNA.
What do you think is his weakness? What is his weakness as a performer?
I think his weakness as a performer, I personally don't think there is a weakness with him.
Okay,
I think he's very good. Okay.
I think his mic skills are not good. I think him as a character is not defined. You don't know what his motivations are. You don't know. He's competitive. Mm-hmm. He's a lot like Kurt Angle minus the mic skills.
Okay.
He just wants to compete. He wants to do good. He wants to, you know, blow everybody out of the water, whatever. That's where I think WWE can help him. Because WWE is the biggest stage, first of all. Second of all, they have a plethora of people to get the absolute best out of him. They will write for him. They will teach him how to grab a crowd. They will teach him how to make himself stand out and be better on the mic and all of that stuff. There is no, I think their format, WWE's format, the way they cut promos, the way they do stuff, the old school style that they're going with right now, is better for a guy like AJ Styles. TNA, they do too much of their movie style stuff. They rely too heavily on acting and not on performing, which are two different things. In sports entertainment, there's a reason why if you're filming a movie, less is more. The less you overtly show the audience, the more they're drawn into you. That way, when you're in pain on film, which I don't know, anybody knows this, I am an actor, I've been in a couple of films. When you finally show that pain, they feel it. Mm-hmm. in sports entertainment, in wrestling, you are screaming your head off on an arm bar. You need to perform for the not just the people on television. You need to perform for the people all the way in the last row, all the way up in the nosebleeds. Everything's exaggerated. TNA, they have 1,000 people at their events. They don't have they're just for a guy like AJ Styles, who's so introverted and so quiet and lets his in-ring stuff do the talking. A company like WWE would completely exploit his weakness until he gets over it. And I think he belongs in TNA. I think he would for a long time.
You think he would shine in the WWE?
I think he would better himself in the WWE. Okay. I think if he was, you know, going to come to the WWE, I would sign a 3-year deal with WWE and then go back to TNA. Mm. Because everything you're going to learn in WWE is only going to make you better. Look at Christian. Before he went to TNA and became a star.
Became actually like a star, yes.
Right. It was because he had the tools from WWE. Mm-hmm. He had live audiences that were gigantic. He had television all over the world.
Think about it, he had the charisma that he got from the WWE. And,
right.
And
feeding off of a guy. And you have, in TNA, it seems like everybody's trying to just be this intense, like, kind of character. And it doesn't work when you have 25 guys doing that. Yeah. It works when you have 4 guys doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's rare when you see it.
Yeah.
That's why I don't watch TNA. It's too much of the same thing, too much of these high intense, crazy people, and you don't care about them. Mm-hmm. You don't. If there were 17 Batistas, Batista would have gotten lost in the shuffle. It was because Goldberg was retired, Brock Lesnar's retired, you know, Randy Orton is.
And that's why
on
we have Mason
show.
Ryan, who is right now our new Batista. Yeah, okay.
But even so, he's not being pushed like a guy like Sheamus and Mark Henry.
No. Okay.
But if you have, you know, 25 people that are going to scream their head off at you, it's boring. Christian had edge. Christian had a fun person to work off of. AJ Styles only has people that are in high-intensity, crazy people. So I think the WWE can help him. I don't think necessarily he would flourish.
Yeah.
I think, but I think it would ultimately help his career if he did get in front of a WWE camera and in front of WWE audiences.
Right.
We had another email from Bryce Bacon, okay. And he signs it, yes, that it is my last name. He's from Melbourne, Australia.
Okay.
So apparently we're reaching the folks out in Australia.
Okay.
He's he says, dear guys, forgot your names, but that's all right. We'll let it slide. Loving the podcast, just a few things. TNA deserves more than 60 seconds. Well, guess what? He says 60 seconds. Give it at least 70 seconds. Well, we gave it a little bit more than 70 seconds, so I hope that makes you happy, Bryce,
okay.
Mr. Bacon. He said that he thinks we're being a little too hard on them at the moment.
Too hard on TNA.
TNA, if that makes sense. Talk more about John Morrison and WWE is actually expletive deleted now compared to TNA. Yeah, TNA is kind of bad, too, but I really started watching wrestling 7 years ago, and that's the WWE I loved. The cruiserweights are a different set for each of the shows and showing them every single wrestler. So he basically thinks that the way WWE was 7 years ago is the way TNA is now, where they show the cruiserweights and the light guys, which find the X Division.
That's interesting that he brings that up, because the only reason why the TNA X Division is even getting a push right now from TNA is just because of one pay-per-view. Other than that, I haven't seen anything developing with the TNA
right.
X Division.
No, I haven't either. Okay. He also, we're going to wrap things up now, but we're going to talk about our super card.
Oh.
Our Big Splash WrestleCast's super card challenge.
Okay.
He has a suggestion.
Okay.
I actually really like it.
So this is the first match.
This is his opening match.
Okay.
Super Crazy versus Psychosis.
Okay.
Versus Rey Mysterio.
Okay.
Versus Chavo Guerrero.
Okay.
Versus Chavo Classic versus Sin Cara. And what would be a cruiserweight, you know, match. I actually like it. Here's why. It gets Rey Mysterio out of any other match. And I was always a fan I was always a fan of WCW when they had their crazy cruiserweight battle royal style matches to open up their pay-per-views. I was always a fan of those. So I think
like
I don't think it does any harm. Think about it. Super Crazy, Psicosis, Mysterio, two Guerreros, and Sin Cara all throwing their body all over the place. The crowd would eat it alive.
Of course they would eat it alive. Yes, I know. And I know that's that would be a great opening match. But let me tell you something. It's too much.
How is it too much? This
is
a super card.
Okay, wait. Okay, I understand that we're doing a super card, a out of this world ultimate card.
Right.
But that's six guys.
One, two, three, four, five. Yes, it's six guys.
Six guys in one match?
It gets rid of Rey Mysterio.
Oh, goodness. Listen, I could.
And it puts Chavo Guerrero on.
All right, listen, let me put. All right.
On
you
the
know
card.
What? Let me tell you.
Tell me.
This,
say it how it be.
All right. I'm not going to reveal my ultimate card match, but one of my ultimate card matches will have Rey Mysterio in it,
okay.
And I cannot tell you what it is until we get further down, but I'm going to admit something. The Rey Mysterio match will be better than this match.
Okay, so Mr. Bryce Bacon, we are, for that reason, going to... I like the match.
We like the match. Listen, if you want that... As the ultimate... Okay, you know what? We're going to post this to everyone here. We had three starter matches. We had three matches. This is your choice. We're going to let you guys decide.
Okay?
We had your opening match,
yes.
Which was between...
The
American Dragon. Ricky the Steamboat.
No. American Dragon, Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, that's right.
Ryan Danielson.
Yep.
Versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yes.
Okay. We have this match here from Mr. Bacon, which is Super Crazy versus Psicosis versus Rey Mysterio versus Chavo Guerrero versus Chavo Classic versus Sin Cara in a six-man, you know, match.
And then we have with me, I said The Miz versus Mr. Perfect to start it right off just because of the relevance with today.
Okay.
Okay.
So there, it's in your hands now, okay? But we're going to move on to our suggestions for match number two.
Okay.
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 We're gonna let anybody who wants to vote on that. You can write us in with your vote.
Yes.
Okay. Match two. Do you have a match two? Prepare for match two?
Yes. All right.
You start us off then.
Okay. So, my match two is actually a tag team match.
Okay. I think mine is too.
Yes. So. I've wanted to do this for a while, and my match two is actually going to be a tables match.
Okay.
Okay. My match two is gonna be. Between, pretty much, it's going to be three teams that, in my opinion, are in my top 10 tag teams of all time.
Is this for a tag team championship?
Yes, this will be for the tag team championship.
Okay.
Okay. So I have the Legion of Doom.
LOD.
Okay. Versus Beer Money. Okay. And then I know that they fought, but because it's a tables match, and you know what? I like them a lot. I'm going to actually put the Hardy Boys there.
Hardy Boys?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to have a three-way dance between Beer Money, the Hardy Boys, and the Legion of Doom in a tables match.
Okay. All right.
An elimination. So you have to eliminate
elimination
each
style.
Elimination style.
I'm going to go a very similar route.
Okay.
But I'm not going to be I don't think I'm going to include Beer Money in there.
Okay.
I'd like to see LOD,
okay,
the Nasty Boys, the Dudley Boys,
okay,
and the Hardy Boys in a four-way TLC.
Ooh.
Tables, Ladders, and Chairs tag team match.
Okay.
For the tag team championships.
Okay.
That's going to be my my match. Okay?
All right.
So we're going to let you guys decide. You're going to write us in. Write into us any of your match number two suggestions, along with your votes for match number one, and then next week we'll start our voting process for match number two and give our match number three.
There you go.
Again, you could write to us at bigsplashpodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You could follow us on Twitter at bigsplashcast. You could find me. I have a personal Twitter account, although it's not. I don't really talk much about wrestling. That's at Steve Act or Sing. I don't know, Mike. You don't have one of those.
Nope.
But yeah, that's basically our housekeeping there. You could find us on iTunes, Big Splash WrestleCast. Rate us, review us, get us up there so we could expand. I'm going to talk a little bit about something that I would like to do. We're over the 1 hour. We're approaching 1 hour and 4 minutes here.
Okay.
So I just want to touch on this. We're using Podomatic for our podcasting. We're using the free version of it right now, which gives us only about 15 gigs a month of people being able to download us. Luckily or unluckily, however you want to look at it, we're only about 4 gigs. I was thinking of starting a Kickstarter page. Okay. Kickstarter is a way to raise money for a project. Basically, you set a goal, and people donate to you, and you give them rewards for donating to you. And when if you reach your goal is the only way the money will be taken out. And then you know, reward people. So I was thinking we should try and strive for the one-year membership, which I believe is about $3.99.
Okay.
I think it's about $40 a month or something like that. I was thinking about doing that, but we have to come up with rewards for people. So next week we're going to talk about potential rewards before we start our Kickstarter, because I think we still have a little time before we're going to need to upgrade our account.
Yeah.
So look for that next week. We're going to give you information on how you could do that. But until then, everybody out there, just watch wrestling, enjoy wrestling, have a good time, watch all the shows you want. I think that's all we have to say, huh?
Yeah, that's
We need a good tagline for the end. What should be our tagline?
Listen, why don't we leave it to the lovely people who are listening?
We could do that. All right, you know what? Let's each suggest the tagline, and we'll let them vote on it.
Listen, I'm not good on the fly. I'm just letting you know.
All right, well, I'll start it off. Let's say this is Big Splash WrestleCast. No. This is Big Splash WrestleCast. Yada yada yada.
I'm sorry, folks. Steven is
reach for
right
the
now.
Belts.
Reach for the belts.
This has been Big Splash WrestleCast. Reach for the belts. I'm Steve Fontana.
And I'm Mike Capizzo.
How does that sound?
It works.
Would you got anything?
Nope.
All right, we'll do it next week.
All right, fine.
Until then, this has been Big Splash WrestleCast. I'm Steve Fontana.
And I'm Mike Capizzo.
Keep reaching for the belts.
Thank you.